You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We're so glad to be back with you this year. We had a little bit of a break as we entered into a 21-day fast from the beginning of January until this past Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're just really glad to be back, and God's laid some things on our heart that we want to share with you and to start this year off. And thanks for joining us, everybody out there.
Yeah. So we want to jump right in and let you know, if you've listened to the video we shared about a half an hour ago, we're going to talk about biblical submission. Mm-hmm. And that's really a topic that is, you know, it's close to our heart because so many things hinge on following the Word of God, following the commands of God. And a lot of us want to pick and choose what scriptures we want to follow. And, you know, we see it in marriages out there and relationships out there. You know, the devil wants nothing more than to make men less masculine and you know, they're toxic or whatever that is, you know. And that's not biblical. And so we want to hone it into the marriage realm because that's why we're here. And touch on this topic, and we may touch on it several times throughout the year because it is that important.
It is important. And as you were sharing, I was just thinking about, you know, there's probably a message, and there is a message out there that, you know, women don't need men or vice versa. And, you know, there's this battle of territory about who's to be dominant, who's not to be dominant. But really, we're supposed to submit to one another, which is really what's biblical. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. But
yeah, let me share a quote I read recently because this is where it fits in. There are forces at play today designed to deliberately lead us away from absolute truth.
That's good.
And that's where we're at. The forces at play is the enemy. It's the devil.
Yeah.
And he knows what's going to get you all riled up and what's going to trigger you. And so we need to just be wise as serpent, gentle as doves, and handle ourselves according to the Word of God.
Yeah, God made women uniquely different. And he made men uniquely different. And there's a reason for that.
That's a newsflash, you know, because there's people out there that want to just group everybody all together. Like, we're all in one little mosh pit.
We're humans.
We're not male and female. We're humans. And we're all all dumped into this little mosh pit of humanness. And we're all the same. And we all feel the same. And we all act the same. And we're all physically the same. And that is just a bold-faced lie.
It is absolutely a lie because God made woman from man. He made, you know, created Adam, then he created Eve from man. And so God made man, Adam, to have a helper, which was Eve. It doesn't mean he's supposed to be domineering and controlling and dictatorial, but they're to complement one another in their lives. And so there's just these lies out there that say, you know, we're all the same. We just have maybe different types of anatomy, whatever. There's a lot of gender confusion type things out there. Yeah. And so, but we base our truth upon what God says in his word. God created man in his own image. He created male and he created female to be wedded. Number one, to represent, to have a helper, you know, each of us to have a complementary helper, but also that we could represent his goodness in the earth through marriage.
Amen.
Because Christ came to sacrifice his life in order to save us, the church, the believing people of Jesus Christ. And through this marriage, we represent that same submissive attitude as Christ came and died on a cross for us and submitted his life, gave everything so that we could be saved and restored to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So we represent him in our marriage in the way that we go about doing that.
And that's a great point because, you know, you're not just married just to be married. You represent a greater purpose. And always know, if you're listening to this now or on demand, always know that you represent a greater purpose. One being leaving a legacy for your family. Second, you're a witness to the world.
Yeah.
And you could probably flip-flop those, or they're both very, 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 you know, number one items on your list.
So we want to get into talking about biblical submission. Yeah. And I know that word can incite or, you know, get people excited. Maybe it's especially women. Triggered. Thank you. That's a good word. Triggered in that, okay, what are you saying? I need to submit to my husband, or I need to submit to my wife, and we need to submit to one another. What does that look like? I want to do what I want to do. So, you know, when you think as a lady, you know, and we'll read the scripture here in a moment. When you think as a lady, as a wife, when you hear that word submission, mm-hmm. how does that make you feel?
You know, Pastor Richard and I were talking about this yesterday when we were preparing for this message, and I told him, I said, well, when you asked me that question, I had two answers. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, I want to share with you how I would have received that prior to allowing the Lord to strip me down and to mature me, you know, in my faith walk. Mm-hmm. And the other being how I would respond to that now. But my old self, before the renewing of my mind happened, before the new creation happened in me, right? Mm-hmm. Before I said yes to, even probably after I said yes to Jesus, you know, there was a pruning and a peeling that had to happen. I would immediately flare up. I mean, gosh, don't even say that word in my presence, you know, because it was so offensive. I witnessed that, you know, growing up with mm-hmm. with some strong men in my dad's family. You know, and I love them all, and it's generational, you know, that's how they did things. But I witnessed the women just being, you know, belittled and not as important. And, yeah. you know, and I know my mom has lots of stories, you know, about that. And so that's what I witnessed growing up. And I had determined within myself, inner vow, that, I was never going to let a man control me. And so that's the old self, you know. Mm-hmm. When I hear submission, it probably would evoke fear, which in me looks like anger. So back then, when I was afraid, I would get angry, right? Yeah. So I would turn and run. You know, there's no way that I wanted to be any part of that, or even told, you know, well, this is biblical. Well, I didn't care back then. You know,
let me just interject a point, just so our audience. So just use a. You know, kind of a counseling term. So when you said, I'll never let a man control me, mm-hmm. that's basically something we've talked about before, which is called an inner vow, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I just mentioned that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What am I doing? It's a belief system.
He's hearing me, but he's not listening.
That's a good idea. Hey, won't you listen to that one too? So it's just...
We have an episode on that.
Exactly. There's a belief system that's forming that really drives your behavior.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it did for years. But jump into the new me, the new creation, the restored me, the redeemed me, mm-hmm. you know, the new creature that I was made. And as I allowed the word of God to penetrate my heart more and more, mm-hmm. I completely understand, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, because you hear the word submission mm-hmm. as a woman, mm-hmm. and it just is natural for us to bristle a little bit, you yeah. know, but even in the new me, I have to hear, like, well, what's your intention? Like, why are you asking me that? And what is your motivation and intention? Well, I know his, because he's got my back, and, you know, we're there at that point today. But in this day, today, it wouldn't send those little shivers up my spine that it would mm-hmm. Back in the day.
Do you think it has any possibility within you that when you hear the word submission at all, that you could lose yourself as a woman and you're
all of it?
Okay.
Yeah. It's a control thing mm-hmm. for sure. What about you? Like when you hear the word submission as a man, mm-hmm. Maybe you have to also differentiate between old and new.
Oh, I do.
But like, how does that word affect you?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to understand our journey. So like for me in the old me.
In the Old Testament. Yeah.
In the Old Testament of me. Absolutely. The new creation had not formed at that point. You know, for me, you know, I did what I saw growing up, you know, so I saw how my parents related with one another. And so, you know, I saw that my mom would bend over backward and do everything for my father. That was just how their generation operated. It wasn't that my dad was like domineering or controlling or whatever. But I think what my mom learned and what she saw, she repeated, right? So I then took that in my old self to say, okay, well, this is how our relationship is supposed to be. The wife is supposed to really submit and do all of these particular things around the house, the chores, the whatever, take care of the kids. I'll go to work, come home, she'll make my dinner. And my wife's just going to submit to all of those kinds of things because that's just normal. That's how you do life together. And so, I had the wrong view of what Scripture was actually teaching because I didn't really know God's Word at that point in my life. I didn't understand it. I'm still growing in it. but I just felt like, you know, a man was going to be the head. The wife did, and we should agree on everything. And if she doesn't agree, she's just going to agree with me anyway because that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And so that was my old view of...
All of which was never shared. I didn't share my view.
No, absolutely. None of that was shared. But I mean, even at that, that wasn't even shared with my parents. It was only through my observation of what I saw happening that became my mindset and how I thought life was supposed to be with my wife. You know, I just thought that's how everything was supposed to look, right? Well, it certainly wasn't because, you know, the two worlds had to come together. We had to come together and understand what our path was together, right? And I certainly wasn't basing our path upon the Word of God and what it said. And so I guess in my new me now, the way I see it now is that my role as the husband and the leader of the home is to be that. I'm supposed to be a spiritual leader.
Absolutely.
And when we read the Scripture, we're going to see this more clearly, that I'm supposed to, as a husband, love my wife like Christ loved the church. Well, what does that mean? It means that I sacrifice. And so I see it more like that now, as the Word teaches, is that I'm supposed to be a leader spiritually to not only lead my life, but to lead your life and to lead my family's life as the spiritual leader of the home. Why? Because God actually... made it such. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to question that and say, okay, well, a man's not supposed to be the leader over the home. Well, actually he is because that's what God instituted. And he did that in the Garden of Eden. So when the fall happened, just let me use this as a simple example. In Genesis, if you just go back and read the account of the fall, when the fall happened, Eve's the one that took the fruit or whatever. And she took it because she was deceived by the devil, Satan, the slippery serpent. And then she gave the fruit to Adam and then he ate it. But when God came and looked for them after they realized that they were now in sin, if you will, because they disobeyed God and what he commanded them to do, when he came and looked for them, he asked for Adam. He didn't ask for Eve. Mm-hmm. He said, where are you and why did you do this? So what that says to me is that God has put an order in place in the home where the husband is to lead. Now, as a husband and in the new place, I have to ask myself this question. When the Bible says that two become one flesh, it would be stupid of me to not include my other half of who I am. Because we've come together as one physically, but we've also come together as one spiritually, and we're trying to become of one mind. Not that you have to think the way I do, or I have to think the way you do, but we've come together as one. So if I don't take and receive input and feedback from my wife, I'm stupid. I'm really being dumb because there's another half of me that has the wisdom of God, the insight of God, the revelation of God on a host of many things that happen in our life. Amen. And if I ignore that as a husband, I'm really being deceived because there's so much value that my wife brings to the table that I can't fully bring on my own. That's why we come together and we complement one another because you uniquely see things as a wife and your perspective, and I see things from my role and how God made me and designed me to be, and together we become better. Mm-hmm. But when we try to do it on our own, we're not the best that we can be. We refine each other.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that would be my perspective on the old and then how I see things today and the new.
Yeah, and you know, we're kind of oversimplifying it a little bit because, you know, saying that we see things differently today in our new self, it is just a weighted statement because it's like there's so much that has happened to bring us to that point.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we're talking about refining ourselves, submitting ourselves to the Lord, taking care, you know, of ourselves individually so that we can come together as a couple and function in this world the way that God wants us to. So it's like, this would be a 3-hour, you know, episode if we jumped into that. So let's read. This is really, you know, the marriage scripture. You know, let's read from the Bible what it actually says. And then what we want to do is just break it down verse by verse. We've never done that before, so we thought we would try just a new little format. So do you want to read it from the Amplified, or do you want me to read it from the New King James?
Read it from the New King James, and then we'll also read it, because the Amplified does what it does, which is it brings context, additional context, into the meaning of what the Scripture is speaking about.
And it
brings more clarity.
Yes, so we are in Ephesians, obviously, chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. And we are going to, I'm going to read that right now for everybody. Let me get my thing here. All right, Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." You know, I probably would have read that and have read it and been like, close the Bible. But
I'm done here.
Let's continue. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband."
Yeah. Powerful scripture.
Yes.
Hard to hear, especially when we spoke about our old.
Yep.
The old people that
the
we
old.
Used. Not old people, but our old mindsets and how we saw
our old
submission.
Selves. Yes, yes, for sure.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So we want to jump to verse 22, which is where we started. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. There it is. What does it mean to be subject? I think that was a note that you had.
Yeah.
Let's read that in the Amplified. It was really cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to read through verse 24 because it answers the question. So what is a wife? What does this look like for a wife to be subject to her husband? So it says in the Amplified, "Wives, be subject," verse 22, "be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord." Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 23, "For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church." God actually set that up, as I already talked about with Adam and Eve. Okay, so again, we're bringing this from a biblical viewpoint. But verse 24, "But as the church is subject to Christ," again, that whole representative of our marriage and what it's supposed to look like, Christ is the head of the church. So also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything. Now, here's the clarification about wives, be subject to your husband. And this is where the Amplified kind of pulls it out. Respecting both their position, the husband's position, as God ordained it to be, right? Mm-hmm. Not like I'm trying to dominate you. That's not the point, right? As protector, so respecting their position as protector and the responsibility to God as head of the household.
That's right.
Spiritually. Mm-hmm. That's what that's talking about.
Yeah. So we read this, you know, yesterday and Pastor Richard was like, what makes you be subject to me? I'll just use that. You know, what makes you submit to me? And I said, I submit to you, number one, because God commands me to do it. I'm seeing that as a command. And I go, the word is number one in my life. But I do it because I desire peace and unity far above any fit that I could throw, or anger, or pushing
basically
you away.
Getting what you want.
Getting what I want.
Right.
And I want to make a note here. It's not that I'm begrudgingly submitting to my husband. If you think about the roles that we play in the family, men have your responsibility for family, for the spirituality, for finances, for managing the home. You have a huge responsibility, and God will is watching, right? Mm-hmm. He is watching how husbands, how you out there are managing your home. How are you managing your children? How are you managing mm-hmm. your finances? How are you stewarding all of that? Mm-hmm. And I don't have to worry about that, right?
You shouldn't.
I shouldn't have to worry. But there was a time that I did. But as we got more into the word and understand the bride and the bridegroom, because this is what Jesus is showing us. This is how he is treating the church as his mm-hmm. as his bride.
That's right.
Because he's the bridegroom. That's our perfect example, mm-hmm. you know, with love, with respect, with unity, with peace. And if I'm like, on the surface, I'm submitting to you. You mm-hmm. say, hey, no, you can't buy those pair of shoes. And I'm like, okay, you're head of the, that's fine, sweetie. You know, and underneath the surface, I'm bitter and angry and resentful, you know, and I'm harboring ill feelings towards you. And then I just go out and tell all my friends, you know, my husband wouldn't let me buy these shoes and he's being so mean. That's not submission, ladies. That is not submission. You have to have peace in your heart. And you have to know that your husband has your back. He's your best friend. And you have to know that the motivation of his heart is for you and not against you. Now, was that always the case with us? No, mm-mm. That was not. And so we had to come through a time where we had to be blunt, honest with one another. This is why I don't submit to you. This mm-hmm. is why I don't feel like I can.
Right.
And yes, sometimes I did it in the early days begrudgingly because I'm trying to do a new thing, right? And as I tried to do a new thing, even though my mind was all crazy and my heart was a little torn up about it, over time, as I did what God was asking me to do, he wasn't asking me really to do it. I wanted to be right with God. And that's why I did it. But my heart had to come around to understanding. And then we had to work on some things. Old mindsets we shared with you, you know, at the beginning of the broadcast.
Right.
Those had to go, you know, because it was just poisoning our relationship. You know, we had to totally be stripped down to be able to, for me to be able to see, oh, I submit to my husband because there's protection in that. There's nurturing in that. There's love in that. And I don't have to take on those burdens, number one, by myself, but he has to carry the weight of that. And that's huge mm-hmm. for husbands.
And I think, you know, for husbands out there, you've said it already, but, you know, this is a huge responsibility. And God's watching. And he knows your heart. He knows your motivations. He understands why you do what you do. And if you're manipulating your spouse to get what you want because you want to be happy about your decisions.
Because that does happen.
It happens. And so, but let me tell you something. You're not fooling your wife when, and I'm speaking to you guys right now, you're not fooling your wife when you're manipulating her. She knows your heart.
Yes, she does.
She knows what's really going on.
And husbands, and you're not fooling your wives. You're not fooling your husbands either. They know when it's not right. They know when you are begrudgingly just doing that just to, you know, quote unquote, keep the peace. And I'll just add in false peace.
Right, exactly. It ends up being false peace, right? So it's not really true peace. But,
amen.
You know, at the end of the day, guys, if you truly want your wife's heart, then you're actually going to follow some of the scripture we're going to read here in just a moment. Because if you're just faking it to get what you want and you're just being manipulative, your wife's going to, yes, she may submit to you because that's what God calls her to do. And she may be a good servant to what God's calling her to do as a command. But at the end of the day, you truly don't have a legitimate peace. You don't really have a legitimate unity. And maybe some of you guys out there don't care. Well, I'm just telling you, you're going to be judged and evaluated by that because God's yeah. put you in a position. That's what it said. God, the wife is to subject herself to her husband because of the position that God has placed you in. You are to be the leader of your home. And when you're not, you're going to be held accountable for those kinds of things. You're to lead your family, lead your wife in a way that is loving, is caring, is protecting, is nurturing that relationship. If you're not doing that, then your motivations are wrong. I'll just call it out. Amen. It's wrong. And I'm call out myself. When I say that, I've done it. So I'm not saying something I haven't done myself. I'm right. speaking to you from the very truth that I've lived out. I've manipulated my wife. I'm sorry that I've done that. It's not right. I should have never done it, but I didn't know any better. I was operating in ignorance. But once you get the truth, the light of God's word coming Amen. Into you, you have to allow that word to transform you. I mean, Evangelist Dan on one of the broadcasts over the 21 day, he talked about it's not change, it's transformation. So you need transformation. You need the Spirit of God working and moving on the inside of you with this word. Because that's what's going to transform how you think and how you do life. You have to Amen. Transform your mind. You have to renew your mind with the washing of the water of the Word of God. It is truth, and it is planting life, very seeds of life in your very being, in your soul, that you can draw from to help you in those times. Because, you know, in your flesh, we can't do it Mm-mm. on our own. We need the Spirit of God.
He might maintain it for a little bit.
But for a little bit. Yeah, you'll do your best. You're going to try through your own will and your own effort. But at the end of the day, you need to ask, Holy Spirit, help me be a better husband. Help me be a loving husband, a loving father in all those ways. Help me to walk the way you want me to walk.
So how does a husband know? How, like, somebody's watching. There's a husband out there, a guy out there that's watching. Yeah. He's like, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Richard, but I don't even know how to take the first step. I don't even know how to love my wife as Christ loved the church. How do I start?
So let's read that verse 25. Again, this is in the Amplified in Ephesians. So it says there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Okay, here's the context. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring and unselfish love. It's basically laying down your desires. It's not that you shouldn't have desires. It's not that you shouldn't have wants or needs and all those kinds of things. But when you understand that your motivation, you know how your motivation is. You know what you're going after, right? Mm-hmm. That's not being unselfish. That's being selfish. But when you're thinking for her best good and you're thinking about surrounding her with care, that's the motivation that Christ is looking for us to operate in as husbands.
And I think when, you know, you throw the word submission out, women automatically think that they're the only ones sacrificing. And so there's this victim mentality, right, that mm-hmm. that we're the only ones that are sacrificing because the husband has the final say. No, that is not what we're saying. Each person is sacrificing. I mean, do you not understand that? I understand that you have wants and needs mm-hmm. and things that you might want to do on a given day or a path that you want to take us down. You know, as a couple, but that might not happen right then and there. Might happen, you know, you've got some prayers. So what I'm saying is there's a sacrifice on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's not just the women, you know. I think it's more women react more visceral when they hear that word and think that it's all on them.
Right.
And it's really not.
Right.
Not in the true biblical sense. Not in what the scripture that we saw or we just read.
Right. And I think what it comes down to at the end of the day is, you know, going back to motivations, whether it's the wife or the husband, right? Do you trust God or not? And if you're doing the things that God's commanded you to do, you know, as a husband, as a wife, then you don't manipulate to ultimately get the outcome that you're looking for.
Yeah.
You trust God and the Spirit of God, and you pray, God, there's some areas that I struggle with, and I need to admit those, but I see there's a struggle for my wife as well. And I'm praying that you would bring revelation to her about that, not because you're trying to be judgmental or whatever, but you want the very best for her, and you know that there is better for her, but she's trapped right now, maybe in a mindset, maybe in a belief, whatever that is, and you want her to be free. Now, you could take your own route. You could engineer your own way and try to force your wife to come in line with what you think she should do. But at the end of the day, can you trust God? He's all powerful. He's able. He's capable. And he will do it. And he will work through and bring revelation. There's things I just got some revelation on when I was reading this morning. It wasn't specifically about mm-hmm. our marital relationship. Sure. But there's things that I've been wondering about for a long time, specifically around the word freedom. And as I was reading some scripture this morning, I'm like, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for. Right? You didn't tell me that, though. Mm-hmm. I'm just using this as an example, right? But if I trust Holy Spirit, because he's a teacher, he's a counselor, he's our guide, And I know he's going to do that for my wife, right? Or you know that he's going to do that for me. Let's trust that. Yes, we can be a voice into people's life. I'm not saying that, right? But the way we go about doing that is what matters and what's that's important. Right. So anyway, that's a little bit about how we as husbands, and I think
and wives, we
can talk about that. But it goes on to say in verse 25, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So husbands, we give ourselves up for our wives and we sacrifice for them so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. So Christ sanctifies the church, and God put men, husbands, in a position to be spiritual leaders of the home. Same thing here. We have to wash with the water of the word of God with our wives. We have to lead spiritually, talk about things spiritually, get into those kind of topics. But that is, we're called as husbands to lead in that way. We're not supposed to allow that's the wrong way to say that. We're not supposed to give over that responsibility to our wives.
That's right.
God gave that to husbands, gave that to men to do and to lead from.
And, you know, jumping to the wife's side of things, the ladies, you know, the more you see your husband lead, now you guys, you're just going to have to wade into it, but the more that you see that he is for you and for family, and priority is loving you as Christ loved the church, it's easier to get your head and heart around you're for us. Mm-hmm. But until that happens, you do what God is asking you to do, and you submit, whether you like it or not, similar to forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
You know, you forgive because withholding forgiveness has a bunch of consequences, and you can read that in the word. And so for me to say, yes, I'm going to submit to my husband, even when I don't respect you at this time, you know, at that time, even when I felt like you were manipulating me, even when I felt like, gosh, this is scary. I don't even, you know, I'm losing myself. I won't know who I am, you know, no thoughts whatsoever. That's how I, you know, I can't have my own thought. I can't be, you know, I'm a pretty independent person, you know, and you would say amen to that.
Amen, sister.
But, you know, when it comes to biblical marriage, you know, and what God is calling us to do, that was number one in my life. So that had to be what my goal was.
Right.
My goal was to being right with God. My goal was reading his word and doing his, I'm not just a reader, right? I'm a doer of the word. And understanding that, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. That really kind of resonated with me, because a lot of people, men and women included, like, I'm submitting to you and you're calling the shots. Well, then I'm gonna do something that's gonna get back at you, because now I can't do what I want to do. Or you're gonna, you know, we don't repay evil for evil.
No.
We don't do that. And so if that's you, you know, you need to stop doing that. But what was, we've always said here at Marriage Minute, it's a matter of the heart. It is a matter of the heart, which is motivation.
Right.
And so if God is asking me to submit to my husband, even though that evokes fear in me back then, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see this thing through, because his word promises that there's blessing in that, that there's protection in that. And that's what I want. I want to be right with God more than I want to be right myself. I don't have to be a right finder. So I want to be right with God, and I want his blessings and his promises and his faithfulness and his goodness and his righteousness to permeate every area of my life and every area of your life and our lives as a whole and our children and their children. That's what it's all about.
It is. So let me continue on with the scripture. Yeah. So even so, it says, this is verse 28, even so husbands should, now again, this is trying to help us as husbands, right? Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own, morally obligated to love their own wives as being in sense their own bodies. Well, you're going to take care of your body. You're not going to let it, you know, fall off, and you're not going to not take a shower. I hope you're not doing that, but you're not going to not take a shower. You know, we should physically be active to take care of ourselves. We should eat right. Well, if you do those kinds of things and care for your own body, you should care for your wife in the same way. Mm-hmm. Why would you neglect your other half?
That's what
if
the
you
word's
will, the
saying.
Two becomes one flesh. Why would you neglect your other half to
That's
care
right.
for it?
That's all right.
When Christ is clearly calling us, the Word is clearly calling us to care for our spouse, our wife, as we would our own body.
Amen.
So let's just skip down to verse 32. And it says, this is a mystery of the two becoming one is great, but I'm speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. Maybe I need to go to verse 33. Sorry.
It's okay.
However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem. There's love and respect there.
There is.
Husbands get respect. This is the number one need for men, is to be respected. Well, if you want respected, then love your wife as Christ loved the church. And wives, don't manipulate your husband to get what you want, because he's going to see through that anyway, right? So we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church, lay our lives down for our wives, for our families. And as a result of that, wives can respect, should respect, regardless. There's a command there to respect your husbands. But, you know, if it's just surface level and it's not really from a heart issue, from truly wanting to honor and respect our husbands, there's a complementing that takes place between love and respect. It goes both ways. So one says, well, who should go first? Should I love my husband? Or I mean, should I love my spouse? And so that way she respects me, or I'm not going to do that until my wife respects me. Well, who's going to start? Who's going to be the one that's the more mature? Mm-hmm. You both should start. That's really the answer. You both should start learning how to respect each other. And husbands, love your wife, and wives, love your husband. You know, when you do that, then you complement the circle that God actually created and how we actually function together with one another.
And learning how to do that is right in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there for everybody. It is inspired scripture from God Himself with all that you need to know. Yeah. So get into your Word. Get into your Word. You know, the ultimate goal is what I said earlier, it's peace and unity. You want peace in your marriage. And if you don't, I would question your heart motivation.
Yeah.
You want unity in your marriage. Nobody wants to be lorded over. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's an easy task to do, but we're called to do that. We're called to live as one flesh. We are knitted together. And that process takes time, but it's also very doable and attainable, and you can do it. But the one thing that if you're listening out there, and you know, we're diving into the Word and we're talking about the Word, if you don't know Jesus, then that's your starting point.
Right. Amen. Because look, at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about, you know, husbands and wives loving and respecting and submission. And there's a verse we didn't read, but if you read Ephesians 5:21, it talks about we are to submit one to another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as believers, we are supposed to and called to do that. So we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
But the point is that, you know, submission is the beginning point. It's the beginning point to have a relationship of marriage that can flourish and have the benefits that God intended it to have for your life and your marriage.
Amen.
But you have to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so what we want to do is we want to give you an opportunity out there. We this is the most important thing you'll ever decide in your life, is to say yes to Jesus. To say, you know, Jesus said yes for you over 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Why don't you submit today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why don't you submit to Him today and begin a transformed life? Because when you give your life to Christ, when you say yes, I want you to come and I want you to live big on the inside of me. When that takes place,
amen,
then He will live big on the inside of you. You will see transformation, and you're going to see your marriage transformed, your life transformed, your marriage transformed, and your family transformed. That's what it's all about. And He has the best in mind for you.
Amen.
The best, not second best, not middle of the road. He's got the best life in store for you, but it starts with submitting to Him today.
Amen.
Will you do that? I want to pray this prayer with you and for you, and you can just say this out loud wherever you're at, you know, whether you're watching live or on demand, but say this in your heart. Mean it. When you mean business with God, God means business with you.
Amen.
Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be, will be saved. This is a biblical truth. And so when you mean it sincerely in your heart, when you pray this prayer, God will come and do business on the inside of you and change you and transform you as you submit your life to Him each and every day. And He's going to send a helper. He's going to send the Spirit of God to come and live on the inside of you. You are the temple of God when you become a follower of Christ Jesus. Amen. So pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that. I confess that right now, that I have been a sinner in my life. But I believe in my heart that you died and that you rose again and you came to save me. And you died on that cross over 2,000 years ago, and you rose from the dead, and you sit at the right hand of the Father. I believe in that finished work. I believe in the finished work that you did on the cross, that you came and you died for me to erase all of my sin. I thank you, and I receive that. And I confess you right now as my Lord,
thank you, Lord,
and my Savior. And I thank you that you call me your son or your daughter, and that you have a place, because you said in your word, Father, that I go away to prepare a place for you. And if it was not true, I wouldn't have told you so. So He's prepared a place for you in heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so we confess now that, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and I will follow you the rest of the days of my life. I pray this now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer, you'll want to go to our website at revivalnow.com. If you go to our homepage, you'll see a big red button on there that says, I just got saved. If you click that red button, we're not going to spam you with emails and all this type of thing. We're just simply wanting your information so that we can send you resources to help you in this new decision that you made for Jesus Christ today. Mm-hmm. We also have resources on our website. We have 4 different videos, short videos to kind of help you understand mm-hmm. that decision and help kickstart you on this process of transformation. And as you learn to understand how to give your life over to Jesus Christ, we just want to send you those resources and we want to pray for you. So if you would just send and follow the information as you click that big red button, fill out that information. We'll receive that. We'll send you resources, as we said, but that's it. We'll ask nothing more of you. We'll send you nothing more unless you want something.
So what we say is welcome to God's family.
Amen.
We're excited for you. And thank you so much for watching today, everyone. We want to wish everyone a happy Wednesday.
Yeah.
And again, thank you for joining us. We love you all. Thank you.
God
bye-bye.
Bless you. Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.